Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, failing to keep presents a secret, mistake braid socks, a Fair Isle programme, and what to make with four-ply. Welcome to episode 33. My name is Heather. I'm The Ord Knitter on Twitter, at The Ordinary Knitter on Instagram, and at Ordinary Knitting on Ravelry. This time last year, I was madly knitting To The Sea version 1. It's a lovely fisherman's Guernsey, and it has a cable down the front, and the rest of it is ribbed. It's a true raglan. And I was making it for my husband for Christmas, and I was really up against the clock. So the fact that, where are we, 6th of December, that just under 3 weeks away from Christmas, that I am not knitting a giant jumper feels like progress. So I'm grateful for that. I don't know if you listened to the Yarn in the City podcast with Alison and Rachel, and they were talking a couple of weeks ago about the fact that knitting is meant to be fun, and to consider at this time of year when many of us still believe that handmade gifts say a great deal about how we regard somebody, we do have to perhaps just keep in our minds who we're knitting this for. And I was talking last week about a very well-loved friend of mine who sadly has the slight flaw of just not really getting hand knits. And so I've decided, it's fine, I'm not going to make anything for her this year. I've bought her gardening gloves instead. There we go. She's a very keen gardener. So that's probably going to give her a lot more happiness for a lot longer than some little thing that I decided my wisdom to knit her. And it was very interesting. If you don't listen to that podcast regularly, or if you do but you just haven't heard that one yet, I recommend you listen to it, because it is quite thought-provoking about why we knit, what we knit, and for whom. And I've been trying to keep that present in my mind as this week I've been partly knocking jobs off my knitting list, but also going round in circles about what to knit, what type of yarn to use, what sort of colours other people like, and obviously what styles of things that they like. I said last week, before I started rambling on, that I was a little bit up against the clock because I had a friend coming, and she's one of my oldest and dearest friends, and she's a keen knitter. In fact, I interviewed her on the podcast a few months ago, my friend Caroline, and I can't remember if I'd said it then, I just don't recall, but I was going to knit her the One Cable Mitts by Valerie Teppo, I think that was. And I was really pleased with these because I know she thinks cables are great, but she's never actually done it. I think she's decided, a little bit like me with crochet, that they're incredibly difficult and a real sort of technical challenge and something that she doesn't want to lock horns with just yet. She has the same feelings about socks and magic loops. So obviously, she and I need to spend some serious time sitting down together knitting next year, and I can show her that if I can do them, really anybody can do them. But I was really pleased that I'd found this pattern. I just thought it's the kind of thing she would wear, it's the kind of style she likes, and I was knitting them in a blue yarn that had been given to me. It was a remnant of some sort. And she's a very brightly dressed person. She dyes her hair bright orange. She always wears all sorts of colours. And I thought, I like this blue. And it had quite a lot of turquoise in it. And I thought it has got life to it. But do I see her wearing blue as often as I see her wearing the hot colours? But I thought, well, it's too bad. It's got some wool in it. And she's a real lover of proper wool. So she and I are about as poles apart on that as you could be. So I thought, no, it's fine. Let's just, you know, trust your judgment for once. Go with it. So she came round and we were chatting away, and it came up. She said, what would you like for Christmas? And I sort of thought, well, I'll put that on the back burner just for the time being. And I said, well, what about you? Do you mind if yours is hand knitted? And she said, no, of course not. Gosh, you know, of all people. And she said, well, She said some cabled hand warmers would be great. And I thought, I don't believe I'm hearing this. It's exactly what I'm making you. And would you believe it? She had come over that day dressed all in this shade of teal blue. And I was just, normally I have quite a lot of self-control, but I just said to her, I've got to show you this. And then we went off and fussicked around in my project bag. And I brought out, I had one mitten was made. I don't think I'd even cast on for the second one yet. And she was thrilled. It sounds silly, but we were so excited that she'd asked for exactly the thing that I had already started making, and she was wearing exactly the colour that I'd started making them in. It was brilliant. So she sat there wearing the one of them for the rest of the day. I had to peel it off her before she left. So I was really thrilled. And she asked me what I would like. And I've insisted she gets it second hand. I actually prefer my books second hand. I've asked for a copy of Arne and Carlos' 55 Christmas Balls to Knit, so I'm going to have my own copy. And I'm stupidly excited about that. So anyway, after she'd gone, I thought, oh, Heather, how could you? You know, you should never show people what you're giving them for Christmas, you know, unless you've explicitly made some arrangement with them. And I thought, oh, that was really bad. That's awful. She's had a bit of a rotten time recently. And I thought, oh, she could at least have had a present, you know, a surprise present to look forward to. So I started to feel really bad. And I started looking around, and I thought, she started taking a little bit of exercise in the last while. And I thought, well, perhaps an ear band, because, you know, we live out in the countryside on the Welsh border. There are some lovely walks, but you're often walking into the teeth of a gale. And I thought, well, you know, just something to keep her ears warm. I know myself, my ears start to get cold and can really ache long before the rest of me starts to feel chilly. And I was looking at patterns, and I thought, oh, I'm just not sure. And in the end, I emailed her and I said, you know, I'd like to do something else as well. I feel really bad. How about an ear band? Because I said, I don't think I've ever seen you wear a hat. And she replied, saying that she can't stand anything on her head. She didn't say, don't admit me that, I can't stand things on my head. She said it nicely. But I thought, isn't it curious? You can be friends with someone for well over 10 years and never have discovered that they don't like wearing anything on their head. But now she says it. I knew I'd never seen her wear a hat, but I didn't realise that she wouldn't even wear, you know, an earband or anything like that. So she said, don't be silly. You know what you're getting for Christmas. It's fine. But she said, at some point, I wouldn't say no to a pair of slipper socks. I thought, oh, brilliant. Slipper socks. Yeah, I can do those. I'm churning out Arran weight or worsted weight. I don't know if this is wrong, but I tend to take Arran worsted as fairly interchangeable. And in terms of how the patterns come out, that certainly seems to be the case. For the type of knitting that I do, it's probably not too critical. Anyway, I've been churning worsted weight socks out, you know, on sort of industrial levels recently. So that was no bother at all. So I have found a lovely pattern called the... I made a note and now I can't see it. Oh, for heaven's sake. The Mistake Braid Socks by a designer called Tanya Fleischer. And it turns out these are because she was doing a cable pattern and she made a mistake and did all her cables in the same direction. And she's got this beautiful braid effect. So she's now turned this into a pattern. So another free Ravelry download. And it's lovely. And because I wanted to use stash yarn, I'm doing them in a particular shade of green. In worsted weight, and all the other worsteds that I've got I felt were a bit dark, but I had asked my friend what sort of colours she would like, and she said, well, bearing in mind that they're going to be on the floor, probably something dark, you know, so as not to just show the grot too much. And she's saying, oh, you know, Farewell will be lovely and this and that. And so I think, given the time constraints, much as I would love to do some Fair Isle, I think that's probably out of the question just this time. So I found this lovely pattern, and I think I'll make them a little bit longer than the image shows in the pattern. So I'm really pleased with these. I cast on for them last night. There are one or two kind of gotchas in the pattern where, if you don't think extremely carefully about the precise phraseology that's used, you could make an assumption and either decide you've got the wrong end of the stick or find yourself making stitches where there shouldn't be stitches and so on. But I did, what happened last night is what so often happens, because I was thinking, I followed all these instructions, I've got the right number of stitches on my needle, but basically the instructions were being given for 27 stitches when I was meant to have 26 on my needle. And I sat down with my husband and said, can we go through the maths, please? Because I just got to that stage where I just couldn't work it out. And I realised that although it's not explicitly stated at this stage, one of what appears to be an instep sock stitch is actually applies to the first of the sole stitches. It's not a misprint or anything, it's how the pattern's meant to be, but that's not actually stated, so I had to suss that for myself, and it's fine and it works, but I'd say it's a knitter's pattern in as much as there's a complete assumption. You just follow the instructions and it'll be fine. I'm not going to explain it to you, you know. So that's been a little bit of a workout for me mentally, but they're lovely. It's a lovely pattern. They're knitting up very swiftly. That this is the beauty of worsted socks, and I'm very practiced with knitting socks in the round, so there's no bother. The other thing that I had to do was find a toe up pattern. I talked a while ago about knitting two at a time cuff down. This is something I've been wanting to have a go at, and there was something I knitted a little while ago. Oh, it might even have been these mitts, actually. I think it was the one cable mitts, but because I couldn't find the other end of the ball of yarn, I couldn't do them two at a time, because I wasn't going to unravel the yarn and do two balls, which is very lazy of me. I much prefer knitting from each end of one skein of yarn when I'm doing things two at a time, because for me that just results in less chaos, but I know that's not the case for most people. So I thought, this is perfect, because I had both ends of the skein of yarn available. I'm using King Cole Big Value Aran in a colour called Sea Spray. I think you can imagine what sort of shade it is from that. It's acrylic. Now, normally my friend wouldn't touch acrylic with a barge pole, but as I was saying, she knows that I don't do wool, so it probably won't surprise her. Also, they're going on her feet, and they're going to be hitting the ground, so I think this Aran will be quite hard wearing. I bought it to make a jumper for my son, and you know, little boys don't respect their clothing. It's been washed and tumbled and worn and washed and tumbled and worn, and he wore it on Sunday to go to a party, and I thought, oh, it's getting a little bit small. I'll have to do him another one. Yes, anyway, she'll just have to live with the fact that it's acrylic. I'm sure it's what she'll be expecting from me. So I thought, I'll cast on two at a time. You initially cast on 76 stitches per sock. So I did it. I did literally the casting on, in the sense of getting all the stitches on the needle for doing two at a time. And it's relatively straightforward. Of course, the trouble is, you then have to effectively join to knit in the round without twisting. And by the time I had done all my faffing around with casting on and shuffling stitches around for magic loop, the twist potential was mind-blowing. I wasn't in the mood for all sorts of reasons, partly because we are slightly now up against it time-wise. I wasn't in the mood for experimenting and making mistakes, and so I just made an executive decision. I ripped it out and I thought, no, I'm going to do a toe-down pattern, because I know where I am from that. With that, you know, 2.5 weeks before Christmas, with three other things to knit after this, that's not the time to be going through a learning experience. I like learning for real and on the job. I don't do practice runs, but even so, I thought, I'm just going to make myself unhappy doing it like this. But it shows that it does work. Casting on to knit two at a time cuff down for mitts or mittens or socks, you know, I can see that it's doable. I just suffer from dreadful twistitis when I join to knit in the round, which is why I always do that nifty little thing normally of, you know, if it's a jumper cuff or a hat cuff, of knitting those few rounds flat to begin with. Have you been watching the BBC programme Fair Isle, Living on the Edge? Obviously, any knitter's ears are going to prick up at the words Fair Isle, and I presume everybody knows that Fair Isle is actually a place. My background is Scottish, but I've not lived there for a very long time. Not to say that that's necessarily going to stay the case. I last lived there in my late 20s, now in my mid-40s, and I'm always very interested in watching anything about it. I'm completely fanatical about the Scottish rugby team and Glasgow Warriors and all sorts of various things like that. So obviously I wanted to watch this, I don't think I could live in that environment now. Although I love living rurally, I'm too used to having things within relatively easy reach. I think being cut off from the mainland, that sort of thing, I think that would just be too much of an adjustment for me. But it looks wonderful. There's definitely an aspect of me or a sort of dimension in which you think, oh, you know, that would be fantastic. I would love to live somewhere like that. But I know that really it wouldn't work. However, the knitting, it's such a part of the culture. It's wonderful. I've only seen the first part. There was another last night, actually, that I've not seen yet. And in the first one, there's a young couple that's just moved to the island, and getting to know how to do Fair Isle knitting is a really expected part of what you do. It's part of the business. It's part of the economy of the island. So this poor woman, she's absolutely flat out. She's got a full-time job sooner than she expected. So she's dealing with that. She's got their crofting, obviously. She's got her house to run. And she's also having to spend a couple of hours a day getting to grips with all of this. I mean, wouldn't it really, let's be honest, hand on heart, those of us who don't monetize our knitting in any way, the thought of having a couple of hours during the day where it's just expected that you will sit and knit, how fantastic would that be? I know I do most of my knitting in the evening. Although if work isn't busy, we have our own business. If it's not particularly busy, if there's nothing put it like that I need to be dealing with particularly, then if I'm making an item of clothing for someone in the family, I will sometimes think, yes, it's justified. I've got 45 minutes before I need to go somewhere or do something. It's fine to put 45 minutes in on my husband's jumper, my daughter's socks, whatever it is, you know, just as I would think it was worth putting that time in to something else I was doing for them, whether it's food or sorting out an appointment or something like that. But the thing that really I loved more than anything else was the value that they place on their skill. And in last week's episode, a cruise ship passed by, as they do with great regularity. Apparently they get about 12 a year. Now, I doubt, given the weather, that that's literally one a month, because there'll be some months when landing at Fair Isle wouldn't be just so easy. But effectively, you know, every few weeks you've got a cruise ship turning up, and they expect to come onto the island and buy Fair Isle knitted goods. And I was so pleased to see that the people who make the goods place a proper value. You know, you're looking at a couple of £100 for a jumper. You know, quite right too. I mean, it's going to be fantastic yarn. Obviously, I couldn't wear it. I'd have to wear full body armour underneath to be able to wear a woolly item like that. But there, it's fantastic yarn. It's knitted with tremendous skill. I mean, they look so... they are professional. I say they look so professional. Sounds patronising. They are a very professional item. And I was really pleased that there was no hint of a knockdown price to encourage people to buy. You know, let's be honest, people who go on cruises, you know, they're people who certainly who go on them with any regularity, they're not doing it on a shoestring. And they're prepared to spend money in the places when they go on shore. So it was really fantastic to see that it was respected and taken seriously by the people coming on to buy the items, and that the people who knit the items are taking their time seriously and placing a proper value on them. But and as one of the women said, the money comes in from the visitors. And it gets spent in the village shop by her because she has no realistic alternative. I doubt that, you know, Morrison's or whoever, Asda, you know, will fly in her shopping. So she has to get what she can from the village shop. So the money comes from the cruise ship and it goes directly into the island economy. And I thought that was fantastic. I was really, really impressed with that. I've mentioned before that I've started going to a charity knitting group. I've been three times now, sat and talked to different people every time. It's really lovely. I'm so pleased I've heard about it. I've handed in my wrist warmers and my socks. And I was given, when I go every fortnight because of other commitments. And last time I went, I was given a big bag full of 4-ply because I had said, oh yeah, I'm very happy to do socks and so on and so forth. And it was a big bag full of odds and ends. So the first thing I did was weigh it all because I needed to know really what I was playing with, and I've worked on a fairly basic weight to yardage ratio. I've sort of, based on the yardage which is given for a 100-gram commercial skein of 4-ply, I think I've worked out that 100 grams of 4-ply is about 420 meters or about 460 yards. So that's given me an idea of how much of each I have to play with. It's not a great deal by and large. I'm going to be doing quite small projects, but I should be able to get at least a hat out of most of them. Now, I've never knitted a 4-ply hat before. I went through Ravelry and I used the great feature where you can tell it what weight of yarn you're looking for a project. And what I have cast on for is the Orchard on the Hill hat by Adela Shimova. That's a free Ravelry download. So I'm on my 20 rows of 1x1 rib for how many stitches? 144. So that's 144 times 20, however many stitches that is. I won't send you all to sleep while I try and do mental arithmetic in 1x1 rib. So talking about my issues with twisting stitches, again, I'm starting off flat for that, but I'm starting off flat on my circulars so that when I'm happy, in fact, I've not looked at it since Friday morning when I was at the wool pack, because I've just got too much other stuff just now. I think I have actually now joined to Knit in the Round, fortunately. So that's gone fairly smoothly. I don't know how many I'm on. I'm not actually keeping track. I'll just, you know, get to the point where I count my rows. I just think I'm on probably about 7 or 8 rows now. I'm at complete liberty to do my charity knitting when I'm not at the wool pack. And ordinarily, if this was any other time of year, I would be very happy to put some time in on it. But for obvious reasons, this will be donated. The pattern says it's for non-commercial use, so it won't be sold. But it will be donated to somebody, which personally I view as no different to me giving it to a friend. It's just somebody I don't know donating it as a gift to somebody in the community who would benefit from it, just as we've donate blankets and things like that. So I really, really hope I'm not breaching her conditions. I can't imagine why anybody could possibly object. But then maybe I'm just massively missing something here. Anyway, that's my take on it. And if this reaches the ears of Adela Shimova, please feel free to get back to me and tell me if you're not happy with that use of the pattern. I thought I would start a new, very brief section called New to Me. I'm very much not a knitter who's in the centre of developments. I don't do designing. I modify patterns and I sometimes set a little decorative feature, a little sort of scheme, decorative scheme into a pattern, but I'm not someone who thinks, right, we need a jumper, okay, I'm going to design all the shaping and everything. That I'm not that good. I quite often hear about things that I've never heard of before, you know. And when it was knitting hour a couple of weeks ago, I think, or was it last week? Oh goodness, the days are just flying past. And people started talking about a type of needle called chiagoo, C-H-I-A-G-O-O. I think I'd asked whether anyone else was asking Santa for KnitPro Nova Cubics or KnitPro Cubics Nova. In other words, the KnitPro interchangeables that have the triangular profile and are in metal because of my well-documented issues with snapping wooden needles. And somebody had one set, but they weren't something that generally people were knitting with. But several people said, oh, I love chiagoos. I have no idea if that's how you pronounce it. It's what it looks like. And I had never heard of these before. And it's another interchangeable system in metal. and people absolutely love them. And I thought, well, it's too late to ask Father Christmas now for different needles. I happen to know it's too late to ask Father Christmas after my son came running into the room the other day brandishing three sets of metal knitting needles. No, darling, I don't think you're supposed to be showing those to me. He just got the wrong end of the stick. And the other thing that would put me off is that, well, it would put me off at this stage, is that you need the Chiagu cables as well. And it seems, having sort of got this far, it seems for me a bit unnecessary to start having a duplicate system. But I did think next time I need a size or a type of needle that I don't have and I can't put together from my rapidly expanding knit pro set, that I would look into the Chiagus, because people spoke of them so highly. And something I'm always a little bit about with the knit pros is I don't think the joins are as smooth as they might be. Yesterday I could get my fingernail into the point where the wood meets the shank on the knit pro I was using. I kept wondering why my yarn kept stopping, and I realised that it was just sitting into, it was just dipping down into this little trough, and also where you put the key through to tighten has become a little rough, and so sometimes the yarn's catching on that. So I'll see whether it's different with the Novas. I'm trying to think, are they Nova Cubics or Cubic No? I think they're Nova Cubics. So I'll see if they're different. I like the system, and I'm not trying to denigrate Knit Pro, but I do think that things like your joins, you know, one of the critical things about knitting needles is that they're smooth. But I know how hard it is to engineer things. That has some relation to what we do with our family business and these things. And even if you design it perfectly, the manufacturing can let you down. So I suppose I'm talking from a position of sympathy rather than criticism. And I've loved my Knit Pro set. It's great. And I've been continuing to keep it neat and tidy after what I was saying last week. But I made a shocking discovery last night when I was looking at these various patterns for slipper socks. One pattern, which I was going to do and ended up changing my mind on, initially, although you're using Aran, you cast on with 3mm needles because these were cuffed down. So you used a smaller needle for the cuff. And I started looking for 3mm. I know my Knit Pro Symphony set doesn't have a 3mm. So that is one of the gaps that's being filled by Father Christmas this year. But I thought, oh, surely I must have some sort. Even if, because I was going to be doing the cuff, I thought even if I just use a straight needle, a regular straight needle, and just do the cuff on it and then join to knit in the round, you should have seen me. I had every single knitting needle that I possess out in my office. And I was shoving them all through this needle sizer. I've got a really useful needle sizer. It's one of the most useful pieces of kit I possess, and I must use it several times a week. It looks like a cream coloured 6-inch ruler, and it's got inch markings down one side and centimetres down the other. And front and back, it's got all the different ways in which needle diameters are given. So metric, imperial, US, and whatever else. UK, I suppose, because, you know, a US size 6 needle, that means nothing to me. I need to know literally the diameter, and it's fantastically useful. But I must have been giving this thing a nervous breakdown last night, and I'm the queen of the 3.75mm needle, but lots of them are the really horrible, heavy, old sort of plasticized metal needles from the 70s. And the only reason I keep them is that occasionally they come to your rescue in your hour of need. And with all these worsted socks that I'm making, I'm using the most horrible, nasty pair of old circulars, because they're the only ones I've got in the right size. And that's going to be put right at Christmas as well. But I thought, how have I come this far without having 3mm needles? I was stunned. I've probably broken them and not yet replaced them. I even took the needles out of a project I've been not getting on with for the last year, a poncho, which I really would like to do eventually, but it's just not at the moment. I've struggled with some of the pattern on the welt, and I thought, sod it. I'm probably, if I ever come back to it, I'm going to need to start again anyway. And I keep looking at the nice pair of higher fixeds that it's sitting on. I thought, right, now I'm having those. But I went through all that, tidied up my needles a bit, sorted out, no 3mm. I was really, really surprised. I just would have completely assumed that I had everything like that I would need. But that wasn't the case. So there we are. I still haven't managed to talk to you about changing the jumper, the hood on the jumper I made for my son. It was quite interesting when it came to it. I'm just going to have to keep saving that. It's moved forward for about 3 episodes now, so I'm just rambling on too much about other stuff. It's been lovely to chat to you again. I hope all your knitting, whether Christmassy or not, or whatever you celebrate at this time of year, I hope that's coming on really well. If you have access to the BBC and you haven't watched the Fair Isle programme, I really, really recommend it. If you're feeling at all sensitive, skip the bit where the little boy goes off to the mainland for secondary education, because despite everything that's been happening for us recently, I'd held it together, I don't cry. But that little boy getting upset and his mum and his teacher getting upset, that was me. I couldn't hold out through that, but I'm sure it was good for me. So if you haven't watched that, I really recommend it. So that's your homework between this week and next week, and I hope I'll get around to watching episode 2 of it as well by next week. So lovely to chat to you as always. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll talk again next week. Bye.